Reconnect with CUNY. Whether you are a first-time college student, a parent, a veteran, or an adult with some college credits, there's a place for you to continue your dreams or start fresh. No matter where you are along your journey, the CUNY Reconnect program can provide financial assistance and one-on-one personalized support to get you going. It's not too late to start again. Go to cuny.edu/reconnect today.
It's Ebro in the Morning with Laura Stiles and Rosenberg.
All right, boys and girls, back on the program. Friend of the show, Stephen A. Smith on the check-in. It's a big deal. We want to celebrate Stephen A. Smith. I think he's this is like a dream come true for Stephen A.
I was going to say, Ebro, tonight, congrats, Stephen, because I know, listen, you've lived a lot of dreams. You've lived a life many have wanted to live. But tonight, you're filling in for Jimmy Kimmel, late night TV. I understand. I share this dream with you, Stephen A. I get it. Congrats on the big day.
Man, I appreciate it, but I'm not going front, y'all. I'm nervous as hell. I can't even.
That's right.
I'm nervous as hell. I mean, it's crazy, you know, because, you know, I got out here last week, right? And they said, look, you know, that opening monologue is like 12 to 14 minutes.
What?
All I said is what? I stuttered, you know, like what? And they said, and they was like, well, it's no big deal. You're gonna be just great. You're gonna be fantastic. And I was like, no. What do you mean? You know, I said 12 to 14 minutes. And they was like, what's the big deal? You talk every day. You're on TV every day. I said, I have never been in front of an audience with the intent to having to make them laugh. For any period of time. I might have said something. I might have had a facial expression or whatever the case may be. And if you laughed, you laughed. If you didn't, you didn't. But I'm moving on because I'm talking sports. Tonight is my job to try and make you laugh at a certain period, you know, at a certain period of time. I've never been put in that position. I ain't no damn comedian. So this is a new experience. Make no mistake about it. But, you know, I intend to be ready.
What does the day look like? When do you get in there and sit with writers? Because, I mean, Stephen, on the flip side, even Jimmy, all of them, they have writers. They work throughout the day, and they'll have cue cards for you. You'll be able to, like, you know, learn it and do all that. So what does the process look like?
Well, first of all, Pete, I'm glad you told me that because they didn't tell me that. Okay? Because they didn't tell me that. I surmise that that's going to be the case, but because, you know, out here, West Coast time, you know, you going on a show hours earlier, but I'll be in from 9 a.m. LA time, so I'll be there.
And what time?
Day.
And what time they shoot? Like 3?
They're like 4 o'clock. 4 o'clock.
Oh yeah, yeah, know, yeah.
Like 4:30.
Now, Stephen A. Today obviously is going to be, and I'm sure when you guys get there, I'm just putting this in your ear. Today would have been Kobe Bryant's 43rd birthday. Yeah. So that kind of, you know, for better or for worse, it's going to be kind of a heavy, a heavy topic to cover. So, I mean, for you having such a close relationship with the late, great Kobe Bryant, and being able to have some personal stories to share and connect with the LA audience through that, I'm sure that'll also kind of give a different dynamic than any other host that's filling in. And I know Jimmy Kimmel used to have Kobe on a lot too, right? So, you know, that I'm sure that's something that you could delve into.
Definitely so. Well, I think, first of all the Kimmel writers, I mean, his entire staff is available to me, you know, so he, you know, this is his show. Let's be clear right. about that. And so those same writers, the researchers, everybody involved, they're his people. So they're all going to be here. And obviously they would know some kind of things that they want to broach. And obviously I've got, you know, I'll have something to say about Kobe Bryant. I miss him so much. But I'll tell you this much as it pertains to me. When you talk about Kobe Bryant is looking from above saying, well, you know, what the hell are you waiting for? You know, no excuses. Handle your business, especially your shit talking ass. I mean, you know, you better get up there and do your job. That's what he be telling me. He's like, you know, you on TV every day judging everybody else. Everybody else tonight is going to be there judging you. Good luck. That's him.
That you know what clip you could always call for? There's that classic, Kimmel clip. When Kobe was on and Kimmel showed him all the Lakers celebrating. Absolutely. And Kobe's
led by Swaggy P, Nick Young.
Swaggy P.
You know, after a 14-game losing streak or whatever it was, they win one game and they celebrate, you know, like they won the championship. I mean, he was so disgusted. I mean, I called him after that to laugh. He didn't call me for a month. He was still disgusted after that. That's how funny that was to me. But he was pissed.
Now, one thing, you know, listen, one of the things that's hard is when we lose someone like Kobe, who's so amazing and he had such growth as a person, we naturally, and for good reason, focus on the man that they become. But Kobe Bryant, the man who passed away at 41, and Kobe Bryant, the young man who came into the league, are two vastly different people. And you were along for most of that ride. The whole thing, because you were in Philly from practically the beginning. You watched the whole evolution. Can you tell us a little bit about how you saw Kobe sort of find his footing and change as a man as he got older?
Kobe was a kid that came into when he came into the league. He was a kid that was determined to be one of, if not the greatest ever. He studied Michael Jordan. He mimicked him. Everything. That was his definition of success. And then he comes into the league. And he wants to take the league by storm instead of being patient. He wasn't interested in waiting. He wasn't interested in waiting his turn or what have you. And that's why him and Shaq at the very beginning had some friction from the standpoint of even at the summertime before Kobe's first season in the NBA. Shaq tried to slap him upside his head because of the way he was acting and stuff like that. But Kobe wasn't going for it. And then, you know, as he continued to evolve and he had that pizzazz, that swag that everybody fell in love with, he became determined to be a winner. After he became a winner, he was big, very, very big on holding cats accountable, which is why him and Shaq had a falling out. I remember one time Kobe just lost it because he and Shaq had, you know, a discussion about, you know, doing all we can. Let's get in the best shape. Let's do what we got to do. Let's get this or whatever. And Kobe had walked into the locker room and Shaq had not one, not two, but three Big Macs because Shaq was addicted to Big Macs. He really, really loved Big Macs. And Kobe just lost it and, you know, all of this other stuff. So it went from there to him winning championships to ultimately him and Shaq separating to ultimately, I think the last year, and I don't think this story was ever told one time, people were talking about Kobe, you know, he wanted the ball. He was hungry. He wasn't being the team player, whatever. They had leaked it to the media. People don't notice. This is with Shaq. This is with Derek Fisher. This is with Rick Fox and others in the locker room, if I remember correctly. And I was told the story that Kobe walked into locker room with the newspaper article and went locker stall to locker stall and said, "You said this, MF-er? You said this, MF-er. You said this, MF-er," and went down the list, throughout the locker room to make sure, you know, he asked every single player on the squad if they said something about him and what have you. So, you know, you become a kid to becoming a young man to becoming defiant to the last day that I saw him alive, which was New Year's Eve, you know, 26 days before he departed us. And to see that dude at a party on New Year's Eve, you know, in Bel Air, he was as happy as I've ever seen him. He was as relaxed as I've ever seen him, even though he had, you know, big plans and a bright future, had already won an Oscar and what have you. And, you know, obviously detail with ESPN is a big, big deal because that legacy carries on. He owns that. So when you see Peyton Manning or anybody else doing this, that's his, and his family still going to get money from that, from my understanding. With all of that stuff going on, to see him in a place of such calm and such, you know, he had arrived, and he was like, "I'm good. I put in my years, man. It's over." And he was as happy as I've ever seen him, as relaxed, talkative, just a big, fat smile on his face all the time. And that was one of the things that devastated me so much about his departure, that he was just in a place every single one of us aspire to be in at some point in our lives.
Reconnect with CUNY. Whether you are a first-time college student, a parent, a veteran, or an adult with some college credits, there's a place for you to continue your dreams or start fresh. No matter where you are along your journey, the CUNY Reconnect program can provide financial assistance and one-on-one personalized support to get you going. It's not too late to start again. Go to cuny.edu/reconnect today.
UBS Arena, hold on! Sexy Red, French Montana, DeVito, Roller Brook, Cash Cobain, Bass Swag, Doja Cat, top. Chef G is home, baby. Sleepy Hollow, Connie Diamond, 310 Baby, celebrity host, Ice Spice and A Boogie. Big Daddy Kane will be celebrating the life of the finisher, Mr. C.
Mr. C, step swimming.
Jadakiss, EPMD, Eric B and Rakim, Method Man and Redman, Lord Tariq and Peter Guns. Yours truly, the curator, the lit digital DJ, Funk Flex on the set. Hosted by Nessa, Ebro, Peter Rosenberg, and Laura Stiles. Tickets at Ticketmaster.com. Oh, you thought we wasn't going to get it right?
He's on fire!
It's crazy you say that too, because I didn't know the man. Met him a couple times, but I saw him at I was at that Lakers Mavericks game at Staples Center, that he went to with Gianna, and I was sitting. Shout out to our mutual boss, the great Tim McCarthy, got me some fantastic seats. I was sitting right behind, and I watched him the whole night, and without ever having a conversation, I was saying to my agent, I'm like, yo, this guy looks like he's in such a space. He was so happy to mingle with people. He just looked, him and Luka had their little moment on the court. He met Luka Doncic, and he and LeBron were playing around. He just had this aura, Steven, of a guy who'd really found his peace in life, man.
Exactly. That's exactly who he was and where he was at that particular moment in time. And he just said to me, man, you know, when you sit back, And you feel like you've done what you came to do, you know, and you don't have to worry about anything. He said, I can't describe how that feels. I don't have to worry about my resume. I don't have to worry about my legacy. I don't have to worry about my accomplishments, and I don't have to worry about my finances. He said, that's what it's all about, man. That's what it's all about. Now go get it. And he said to me, now go get it yourself.
Yeah, I mean, you getting it, Steven. You getting it. You. I read somewhere where you're putting out a memoir too. What's happening? You got a tell-all book coming out. What's going on?
Well, first of all, we brothers. I'm gonna tell, but I ain't gonna tell everything. You know, I mean, come on now. But I will tell you definitely. It's a memoir. I agreed to a book deal with Simon & Schuster. The book is scheduled to come out in all likelihood in the fall of 2022. I'm writing it as we speak, and essentially it is my memoir. And, you know, it's a lot of things that I've experienced in my life and in my career that I think that will be, you know, helpful nuggets of information for those of us on a come up, some of us that have already arrived, people in positions of power, everything, you know, that you could possibly think about in terms of challenges you encounter, how you maneuver your way through that terrain, all of that stuff. All of that stuff is going to be in the book, and a lot of it is going to be personal. I'm not going to front about that. You can't write a book talking about yourself and you know, half step. I'm gonna bring the rain. I'm gonna say what I need to say on a lot of different issues. I'm not gonna run from it. And I agreed to the book deal with Simon & Schuster. It's a nice book deal. And so I'm good with it. I'm looking forward to it, and I'm looking forward to finishing writing up the book. And you know, I got editors helping me and stuff like that, but obviously I'll be the one writing it. You know, a lot of people use ghostwriters and stuff like that. That ain't going to be the case with me.
Well, you're a journalist, so I would hope you could put a little pen to pad on this one.
Yeah, you think. But you know what? I got to tell you, it's really, really hard, man, because, you know, you're writing something, right? Like we talk and stuff comes out of your mouth. You speak extemporaneously and you just go from there. But when you write, you literally right, and then you look at it and you're thinking about it. Should I say it like this? Should I say it like that?
Well, that's where you need help. That's the pieces you need help on.
That's right. That's right. And that's where it comes in. But I'm damn sure writing it myself, because I let them know this, you know, this is a memoir. You know, you're a ghostwriter. This is me. I'm writing
ghosts. So now a lot, you know, speaking of personal and tell all, you know, telling your story. Right now, circulating around you is the Max Kellerman story. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you're seeing the talk. Yeah. Max Kellerman stepping away from First Take. What is the truth with regard to this decision being made? Is this a Max decision? Is this a ESPN decision? How did we get to the point? Because I think y'all was just getting warm, right? Like y'all was getting to a Max was, you know, he was getting his legs up under him a little bit on that show.
Right. I know both of y'all for years. So let me say this to you, and I'm not going to half step with anything. I cannot talk about anything right now because the decision has not been made to my knowledge. It's not final. What I will tell you is this. The second is final, I'll be here. And I'm not I'm not running from anything or anybody. You know, y'all know me well enough to know that I say what I mean and I mean what I say. And so, you know, again, no decision is final.
So the internet's jumping out the window early.
Well, it's a report, Ebro. There was a New York Post report that started, but it's not official.
Yeah, and it's not official yet. I can assure you that the decision is ESPN. It is not mine. And ESPN makes that call. And you know, when they make a decision, obviously there's nowhere to run from the issues. I damn sure won't. And I'll be here to discuss it.
Well, and speaking of which, Stephen A., you went through another thing. You've found yourself in hot water many times because you speak your mind honestly on a live mic every day, and you know we appreciate that as much as anyone. Mm-hmm. The Shohei Ohtani thing was maybe the most heat I've seen you get. Mm-hmm. I understood your intention from jump, but I also understood how it appeared to other people. Take us through, first of all.
And I think it's important to the timing of the conversation in the year and the time we're living in, where you have the air of this, you know, anti-Asian hate and heightened sensitivity.
Right.
Where you're having a conversation about mainstream America and marketing and understanding that there's an undercurrent in America of racism. Mm-hmm. And you know what I mean? And that
and xenophobia.
And xenophobia. Well, so you had a lot going on there.
Well, first of all, it may be the biggest regret that I've ever had in my career. And the reason why is simple. You know, when you sit in the position that I sit in, you have a responsibility to make sure that your thoughts are well thought out and you articulate yourself in an appropriate fashion. I didn't do that. And so when people were bringing the heat on me, I knew that I deserved it. Nobody told me to apologize. People don't realize this. At First Take, we have a minimum of 15 segments a day. So that means I'm giving you 15 opinions a day, 75 a week. I personally work a minimum of 45 weeks a year. So I'm giving over 3,000 takes a year.
It's insane.
In the nine years that I've been on First Take, and we've been number one in the morning since I've arrived, I've given over 33,000 takes. And I found myself in hot water three times. So when people look at me, and it's live, it ain't taped, it's live. So when people get on me about stuff like that, I brush it off in most instances. I didn't brush this off for a couple of reasons. Number one, any misunderstanding or the misconstruing of my words was my fault. What I was trying to say about Shohei Ohtani was this. I was not saying he shouldn't be marketed. I was not saying I don't want him to be marketed. I was not saying he doesn't deserve to be marketed. I was saying that baseball's history of marketing people is so poor that they won't do it the way that they should. That's what I was trying to say. But what happened is that I expressed myself wrongly. And so when you take into that, along with what you said, Ebro, where my biggest regret came in is what you were talking about, to anti-Asian hate. You know, what we're living with in today's world, the heightened sensitivity of our times, particularly what was going on with the previous administration and how everything was going on. And, you know, they saying stuff like Kung Flu and all of this other irresponsible stuff. The fact that I wasn't thinking of any of that when I answered the question about him, because all I was thinking about was Major League Baseball, that was my fault. And so at that particular moment in time, I'm like, I'm a black man. How many times have I been disgusted that people would make a mistake when it comes to our community and never even apologize? It's like, wait a minute. It doesn't matter how you feel. What matters is how they feel. And the fact that the Asian community was upset and in an uproar over what I had to say was all I was concerned about, because I was like, I want to let them know. I never intend, like, I'm an equal opportunity offender. If I'm coming for you, I'm coming for you, and you know it. I certainly never want to stereotype or castigate any group of people at all, ever. And so the fact that that happened and it came across that way, I was incredibly, incredibly sorry. And I got news for you. ESPN never asked me to apologize. They never had to. I did so immediately. And what a lot of people don't realize, people are saying he's worried about his job. He's worried about his job. I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? I was on a sports show giving a sports opinion. I didn't go on Twitter or some other platform that I'm not employed by. And I was answering a question that was given to me by ESPN. And so as a result of that, I was in no danger per se. It had nothing to do with that. It had everything to do with me being a human being, me being a black man, me being somebody that prides myself on being sensitive to any group of people. And the fact that I came across as insensitive was something that I found egregious at myself. And I felt that I owed the entire Asian community a sincere apology about that. And that's why I apologize. And it was never a hesitancy on my part, and it never will be, because I never mean to offend any group of people. If I offend somebody, it's a particular individual, and they usually know I'm coming.
Reconnect with CUNY. Whether you are a first-time college student, a parent, a veteran, or an adult with some college credits, there's a place for you to continue your dreams or start fresh. No matter where you are along your journey, the CUNY Reconnect program can provide financial assistance and one-on-one personalized support to get you going. It's not too late to start again. Go to cuny.edu/reconnect today.
UBS Arena. Hold on! Sexy Red, French Montana, DeVito, Roller Brook, Cash Cobain, Bass Swag, Doja Cat, Honey Baby, Fabio Fari, 41 Cal Rich, Jet Carter, Tata, Chef G is home, baby, Sleepy Hollow, Connie Diamond, 310 Baby, Celebrity Host, Ice Spice and A Boogie, Big Daddy Kane will be celebrating the life of the finisher, Mr. C.
Mr. C, step swimming.
Jadakiss, EPMD, Eric B and Rakim, Method Man and Redman, Lord Tariq and Peter Guns. Yours truly, the curator, the lit digital DJ, Funk Flex on the set. Hosted by Nessa, Ebro, Peter Rosenberg, and Laura Stiles. 30th anniversary of Summer Jam. 30% off right now. This offer ends at midnight on Sunday. Tickets at Ticketmaster.com. Oh, you thought we wasn't going to get it right?
He's on fire.
So just to be clear, that apology was for the Asian community, not the people on Twitter who like to wait for you at every moment to try to think they're going to be the ones to end your career that day. It was not for them.
Exactly, exactly. And let's face reality, Ben. It applies to all of us. To me, on a heightened level, of course, but the chairs that y'all sit in and others, that's what people are looking at right now, because, you know, that's their definition of significance. And you can, you know, it's one thing to express your opinion about you disagree, but it's another thing to express an opinion where it's like, oh my God, you know, he should be gone. And, you know, it's the cancer culture that we're living in. It's definitely the worst that we've ever seen. It's unfortunate, but it is what it is. We could take it. That's why we're sitting in our chair and they're not.
I think also, too, you know, and I've seen this multiple times, when it comes to, when you screw up and it comes time to apologize.
Yes.
Taking responsibility for your actions,
mm-hmm.
not diverting attention to whataboutisms,
mm-hmm.
And or trying to in some way subvert the way people feel about your actions through your apology. There's a lot of people who don't know how to apologize and just keep it simple and say, I screwed up. I am sorry. That wasn't my intent, and I will do better.
Right.
And, you know, time and time again, we've talked about it recently. You know, I mean, many rappers are very unsophisticated and young and ridiculous. But,
and directed, you know, by the wrong people.
And directed by the wrong people, not giving insight, or just not listening and being blind, belligerent and just egomaniacs. But the point being that, you know, I think when you are in a position of power and a position of influence, the audience does want to see how you handle making a mistake. They do want to throw rocks at the throne, and they want to see if you can take it. And when you are, like you just articulated, Stephen, someone who doesn't have intentions of offending any particular group,
mm-hmm.
does have a strong opinion, though, but is willing to be a human in the face of a mistake and be humbled and be okay with that. I think people do want to see that in people, because oftentimes we see leadership, politicians, you know, powerful individuals not being held accountable, one, and two, absolutely not taking responsibility for their actions because they're able to gloss over things with money and, you know, the razzle dazzle of PR and, you know, staged pre-written apologies and these things where the people don't feel like, you know, but, you know, you hurt someone. Can't you say I'm sorry and mean it? So I think it's powerful when somebody like yourself or anybody with a platform like yours runs into a situation where they said something they didn't mean to and is okay having the conversation about their screw up. I think it's powerful.
Well, that's why meaningful. That next day I brought on, you know, a journalist from the Asian community. I brought on baseball writers. I felt that it was important that I be educated in that regard. And I'm not somebody that's averse to sensitivity training. I think we all need it. I know that I'm going to take it. Because again, I don't want to offend any group of people, but I think to speak to your point, just as eloquently or try to anyway, I would tell you, it's not just important to do it. It's important to do it because it comes from your heart, not because you're forced or compelled to do it or whatever, because there's a level of inauthenticity that comes with you being forced to do anything like that. And I totally understand that. You know, people should have been ashamed of me if ESPN needed to force me to make an apology in such a situation. You wrong, you got to man up. And especially sitting in the chair that I sit in, people don't realize it. I keep trying to tell people this all the time. When you sit in the chair that I sit in, understand that what comes with that, it ain't just the money. It's a level of trust. That's why they're paying you, because they're trusting that for the most part, you're going to do the right thing, not just on behalf of yourself and your community, but on behalf of the company that you represent. We want to say we got a lot of people, and I think the danger part about social media and the danger part about all of these podcasts, one of the things that I find incredibly phony that you guys can absolutely validate. There's a whole bunch of people who stick out their chest and act like they would be a certain way or act a certain way. And they talk about being real and having no regard for anybody else. This is how I feel, and I'm just going to keep it 100 with you and all of that BS. And they act like they don't work for anybody. And they act like they would never capitulate under any
and have no relationships with anybody.
Here's my favorite. I'm independent. I do what I want to do. You don't own YouTube. You don't own Twitter. You don't own Instagram.
Yeah.
You're cut any way you putting out your content on whatever platform, you cutting a deal with somebody to get that content out.
That's exactly what they do. And so that's one thing that they do. Then they turn around, and then when that doesn't work or that message doesn't get across, they engage and divide and conquer. Yo, Stephen A, you know, did you hear what Ebro said about you or Peter said about you? And I'm going like this, yo, fellas. No, I did not. It doesn't matter. I know them. If they criticize me, it's probably because they think I deserve to be criticized that day. So what? They still my boys. They still my boys. You know what I'm saying? I'm still going to go on this show. I'm still going to answer their questions. I'm not hurt by it. Oh, Stephen A, they asked you about Ohtani. Man, they blindsided you. No, they didn't. They're doing their job. And it's my job to answer the damn question if I come on to do an interview. Very simple. It's called being a grown-up. But a lot of these cats don't know that. And that's unfortunate.
Well, speaking of being a grown-up, did LeBron call you over your statement about Kevin Durant the other day?
No, he did not. You know, LeBron and I don't rap like that. We ain't enemies, but I just don't kiss people as you know what. So because of that, you know, I'm quite sure there's a lot of things, you know, he and I haven't really spoken much since, you know, he folded in the NBA Finals against Dallas in 2011, to be quite honest with you.
It's been that long,
but I tell people all the time, we don't have Thanksgiving dinner together. We ain't exchanging Christmas gifts. You got a job to do. I got a job to do. Last time I checked, we both doing well. Now he's doing better than most. But last time I checked, I'm not doing too shabby. So I'm going to go.
The last tweet you have 2 days ago, and I see it it's just there. It's just cooking. You just left it. It's at the top of your feed. Kevin Durant is the best basketball player in the world.
In the world, period.
And what was the context of that convo?
Well, what happens is that what I like to do on Twitter and stuff like that is that, you know, even though we got hundreds of thousands of live viewers every morning, and we got millions upon millions watching on YouTube and stuff like that. I like to make sure that, you know, when I say something on First Take or whatever, you don't have to always just look for it there. That is right there on my social media pages, so you know exactly where I stand, and I leave it at that. And so they asked a question about, you know, LeBron, because LeBron, you know, he didn't get one vote to be the best player in the world. The votes went to either Kevin Durant or Giannis Antetokounmpo. And so as a result of that, LeBron, you know, obviously, you know, made sure everybody knew that he knew that he didn't get any votes. I guess he was offended by that or whatever. And he said, keep the same intensity, et cetera, et cetera. I consider him one of the top two players on the planet. I consider him the second greatest player of all time behind Michael Jordan. He's on the Mount Rushmore of basketball, as far as I'm concerned. And we all know what he's been as a man, a role model, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm not casting aspersions on him like that. But he's approaching 37 years of age. He hasn't shot 70% from the free throw line in the last 3 years. His jumper is not as pure as KD. His handle ain't better than KD. He ain't the marksman and the sniper that KD is. And even though KD is as skinny as Manute Bol was, God rest his soul, the bottom line is that when you talk about pure basketball, you know, in terms of marksmanship and your offensive prowess or what have you, what player would I rather have? That player would be Kevin Durant. I think that right now, at this particular moment in time, Kevin Durant is the best player on the planet. I don't think Giannis is on his level. Giannis is dominant. Giannis was phenomenal in the finals. Giannis will take advantage of any dude, smaller, slower, whatever the case may be. But I assure you, when you talk about basketball skills and you want one player over the other, that player should be Kevin Durant. It's just,
you know, and you're simple. I saw that sentiment from other people as well, you know, and KD capped it off, of course, with the gold medal at the Olympics, and the fact that he wanted to be there at this stage in his career, coming off the injury. It's not only that he's so great, Steven, it's the fact that he wants this so bad, too. He continues to want to show that. Now, speaking of New York teams, I got to tell you, I had some doubts at the beginning of free agency with what the Knicks did. But I got to tell you, I like the Kemba move. Knicks making moves here?
I think they're going to be better. I think the New York Knicks, they could still end up going home in the first round, because when you look at the Eastern Conference, you got Brooklyn, Milwaukee, Philly, Miami, Boston. Obviously Boston. You can't ignore that. And so when you look at those five teams ahead of them, like I said, Brooklyn, Milwaukee, Philly, Miami, Boston, the New York Knicks, the Atlanta Hawks, who were just in the conference finals. So the New York Knicks definitely end up going home in the first round, but there's hope that that might not happen. They got a point guard outside of Derrick Rose who can create his own shot and is good for 20 a night, especially if he's healthy. Evan Fournier is no scrub. He's not a stationary target like Reggie Bullock is, who can make jump shots, who has a mid-range game, who can get to the basket and what have you. And then you got, I don't know why people keep underestimating the possible, you know, if Mitchell Robinson returned, which he will, and he's healthy, the brother is a 7'1" shot blocker. People keep forgetting that. New York Knicks did not have that in the postseason. Anytime Trey won it, he got into the lane, put up his floaters, or he threw alley-oop dunks to Clint Capella. Not going to be so easy with a Mitchell Robinson around. So I look at
the New York
Knicks being an elite defensive team, okay, and offensively, they added two pieces that I think would be of help. And it's possible that they could get out of the first round. And I think you crawl before you walk. They crawled last year. They're going to crawl a little bit more this year. I'm not saying they're going to win a championship, but I'm just proud to be able to talk about the New York Knicks as a playoff team, and I'm happy about that.
Reconnect with CUNY. Whether you are a first-time college student, a parent, a veteran, or an adult with some college credits, there's a place for you to continue your dreams or start fresh. No matter where you are along your journey, the CUNY Reconnect program can provide financial assistance and one-on-one personalized support to get you going. It's not too late to start again. Go to cuny.edu/reconnect today.
Montana, DeVito, Roller Brook, Cash Cobain, Bass Swag, Doja Cat, Honey Baby, Fabio Fari, 41 Cal Rich, Jeff Carter, Tata, Chef G is home.
celebrating the life of the finisher, Mr. C.
Mr. C, Step Swimming.
Jadakiss, EPMD, Eric B and Rakim, Method Man and Redman, Lord Tariq and Peter Guns. Yours truly, the curator, the lit digital DJ, Funk Flex on the set. Hosted by Nessa, Ebro, Peter Rosenberg, and Laura Stiles.
30th anniversary of Summer Jam. 30% off right now. This offer ends at midnight on Sunday. Tickets at Ticketmaster.com. Oh, you thought we wasn't going to get it right?
He's on fire! Fire!
Fire! Fire! Well, and also to be able to talk about an amazing coach that clearly, you know, clearly had them moving last year.
Well, I will say this. Focus. He was second in line for my coach of the year. I love Tom Thibodeau. I think he did an exceptional job. I just had to give Monty Williams my vote for coach of the year because I thought that Phoenix was more consistent, not to mention the fact that they were in the Western Conference. And I thought Monty Williams did a phenomenal, phenomenal job. Having said all of that, I think Thibodeau is the right coach for the team right now. But I do think when we look 3 years down the road and beyond, he's going to have to evolve and as an offensive-minded coach, or at least get an offensive coordinator in there. Because in the end, you see the Knicks doing the same old offensively. They're very innovative defensively, and they match up, you know, they try to match up well against anybody and give you a tough fight. But when you don't have any offense, it puts even more pressure on your defense. And I think that he's going to have to get an offensive coordinator, or the New York Knicks in about 3 years are going to have to get a new head coach, because you can't keep doing the same things offensively. Chicago, Minnesota, now New York. People say this stuff about Tom Thibodeau. So I respect him. I admire him. I think he's a phenomenal coach. He's done a phenomenal job. But considering the firepower that other teams have, he's going to have to evolve a bit offensively as a head coach, or get somebody in there who can.
Yeah, they didn't have the last year. There was not one moment. They had like six or seven opportunities to get a game-winning look.
That's right.
They never drew up a play to get a game. It would end up being a Julius Randle force. Yeah. They never had. So you're right, Steven. I do think they need some better offense drawn up. But if they get the best version of Kemba, because let's be honest, point guards seem to fail in Boston. Boston's my team. Mm-hmm. Kyrie didn't work out in Boston. Kemba didn't work out in Boston. Maybe it's not that Kemba's broken. Maybe Kemba turns back into Charlotte Kemba.
The only thing about Kemba is his knees, because they still had a best plus minus with him on the court. In the end, he's not a minus. He's a plus. Kemba can ball. I mean, the brother can ball. He can go out there. He can put on the show. Nasty handle, step back, pull up, jumper, mid-range, three-point shot, get to the hole.
Uplifts his team, great energy on the court.
And he's a Bronx native and wanted to dream to be in New York at the Garden. So, you know, I expect big things from Kemba so long as he's healthy. My only concern about Kemba is his knees. I'm not worried, which is a big concern. I'm not worried about his game. And here's the biggest reason, Pete, I wouldn't be worried about his game. No matter who Kemba was, no matter who he was going to be, Jason Tatum has arrived, and so has Jaylen
Brown. Right.
Them brothers can ball. So you had to be deferential to the both of them. They're the cornerstones of the Boston Celtics franchise. He don't have that problem in New York. He could be the cornerstone of this franchise. But and now, that's the difference.
Now, Stephen A., both Derrick Rose, you know, Derrick Rose has had a career of injuries, and you could tell at the end of the season last year with the Knicks – the Knicks were really asking Derrick Rose to do more
than the
20-25 minutes.
Oh, he was out of gas.
He didn't have the legs for that.
That's right.
With a Derrick Rose and a Kemba, a 1-2 punch, hopefully. Hopefully, you know, Derrick Rose giving Kemba a break. So, you know what I mean? They both don't have to carry it. Is that a great scenario for the Knicks? And maybe hopefully keep both of them healthy.
I think it's a great scenario. Here's why. The bright moments that we saw from Derrick Rose, particularly in the playoffs, now we can get that all game, because to me, Kemba and Derrick are one and the same. Derrick is not the athletic point guard that he once was, because I can make an argument that he and Russell Westbrook are the two most athletic point guards we've ever seen in NBA history. I'm talking about Derrick Rose when he was young. We saw how electrifying that brother was athletically. That's not so much the case anymore with those leg injuries he has sustained. But he's still healthy enough to make that contribution. And obviously, you saw what he could do in the playoffs. So what you get from him in the playoffs in the 20 minutes or so, Now you can get over the course of 35 to 40 minutes because Kemba's capable of giving you that same stuff. Kemba can get to the basket. Kemba can hit perimeter shots. Kemba could dance on you. He can get to the hole. He could dish off. He could kick it out to open shooters. He can pull up from three. And so if you got that, and let's not forget this kid Quickly. He was a rookie last year, and he's coming to the second
Quickly.
The kid can ball, and he's got a lot of heart. So you're talking about a three-headed monster at the point guard spot that is capable of not giving you any severe drop-off. Now, they ain't LeBron. They ain't Kawhi. They're not guys like that. But these are brothers who can ball and can give you some buckets. And you have two experienced guards in Kemba and Derrick Rose that are not going to wilt beneath the pressure of the moment. And a guy like Quickly to spell for both of them to come in and give you some quality minutes because he's got his youthful legs and what have you. So that means that the New York Knicks are never going to be compromised at the point guard spot, and that's a big deal.
Now, the Lakers, people have made jokes about their age going into this season.
Mm-hmm.
Are the Lakers the team to beat going into this NBA season, and why is it not the Bucks?
It's not the Lakers or the Bucks. It's the Brooklyn Nets. The Brooklyn Nets are the team to beat. We got to understand something. First of all, major props to Milwaukee. They reigned defending champions. And Giannis with that closeout game. Really, the big deal is that he shot 17 and 19 from the free throw line. Okay.
Incredible.
Everything else he did, we weren't surprised. DeAndre Ayton couldn't deal with this brother. And on top of it all, you also got to give DeAndre Ayton a mulligan from this perspective. Remember that Dario Saric goes down, not that he was much anyway. But there was no backup in Phoenix. You couldn't put Frank Kaminsky on the floor. So DeAndre Ayton, not only do you have to find a way to patrol the paint and potentially guard Giannis, you also got to remember he has to stay out of foul trouble because if he's not in the game, then the only person that could play the five for you is Crowder. And that was definitely not going to work with the size difference that he would have had. So Giannis was playing big ball basketball like he was supposed to because he was against undersized guys. We get all of that. Does anybody who knows anything about basketball believe that Giannis would have been there if Kyrie Irving hadn't gotten hurt? Nobody believes that. We all saw what Brooklyn was doing. I remind you that when Brooklyn went against Milwaukee in game two with Kyrie healthy, Milwaukee was down by 49. 49. I'm talking about KD with Kyrie. Now, we're not talking about James Harden, who hadn't played in that game and shouldn't have been playing because he couldn't overcome his hamstring injury because, again, he wanted out of Houston. He came into camp out of shape, so he could get the hell out of there because originally he told him he wanted out. I'm telling y'all this. He wanted out. Houston said, hell no, you ain't going nowhere. And he said, you'll see.
I'm gonna put on 40 pounds. You ain't gonna want me anyway.
I'm gonna put on 40 pounds. And so, he came in there, he came in out of shape, and then they ultimately sat him until they traded him. And then after that, he comes there, but he's still out of shape. So he never took care of himself in the offseason. I will remind y'all that the previous 5 years, James Harden averaged 29 or better. 29, 20, and then three consecutive seasons averaging over 30. 1 year he dropped 36. He won the MVP. He was a runner-up for two other MVPs, if I remember correctly. The brother is all world. And last year, just averaging out of shape, he was averaging 24 for Brooklyn and looking like an MVP candidate because he was their point guard. He'll be back.
Reconnect with CUNY. Whether you are a first-time college student, a parent, a veteran, or an adult with some college credits, there's a place for you to continue your dreams or start fresh. No matter where you are along your journey, the CUNY Reconnect program can provide financial assistance and one-on-one personalized support to get you going. It's not too late to start again. Go to cuny.edu/reconnect today.
UBS Arena, hold on! Sexy Red, French Montana, DeVito, Roller Brook, Cash Cobain, Bass Swag, Doja Cat, Honey Baby, Fabio Fari, 41 Cal Rich, Jet Carter, Tata, Chef G is home, baby, Sleepy Hollow, Connie Diamond, 310 Baby, Celebrity Host, Ice Spice and A Boogie, Big Daddy Kane will be
celebrity celebrating the life of the finisher, Mr. C.
Mr. C, Step Swimming.
Jadakiss, EPMD, Eric B and Rakim, Method Man and Redman, Lord Tariq and Peter Guns. Yours truly, the curator, the lit digital DJ, Funk Flex on the set. Hosted by Nessa, Ebro, Peter Rosenberg, and Laura Stiles. Tickets at Ticketmaster.com. Oh, you thought we wasn't going to get it right?
He's on fire!
Kyrie will be back. KD is KD. Who the hell be in that? Who gonna do that? I want to.
Well, we gotta ask though. Can they stay healthy for an entire season?
Well, listen, I ain't a doctor, neither you. We ain't orthopedic surgeons. Right. Stuff like that. We don't know. I mean, I give you that. I have no answer for that. But I'm telling. All I'm saying to you is this. I assure you, nobody in the East is gonna beat them if they're healthy. I think the only team that's gonna have a chance is the Lakers. All right, but then again, what are we looking at? Even though it was an aberration, Russell Westbrook shot 65% from the free throw line. LeBron at 69%, okay? AD's health question. You're going to ask us questions about Brooklyn's health. What about AD being healthy? Because everybody knows when healthy, he's one of the top five players on the planet. But the problem is a lot of times over the last few years, he hasn't been healthy. And so when you look at that from that perspective, I'm like, wait a minute. I'm not just giving you sniper-like ability with Kyrie being the greatest show in the NBA, how he can dance on cats and entertain you. The handle is nasty. The game is pure. The whole nine. James Harden doing what he's doing. KD being that all-world player. But them brothers hit a minimum of 85% from the free throw line. They don't miss. So to me, I think that they beat anybody. I think watch out for the Golden State Warriors if Klay Thompson returns healthy, because I think that's the greatest shooting backcourt in history. And I think they can give anybody a run for their money. But
and them young boys that they added in there is looking all right. They was looking all right.
But if I got to bet my money, I'm betting that the Brooklyn Nets win the chip.
All right. Last thing, Stephen A., you got to prepare. You're hosting Jimmy Kimmel tonight, for God's sake. But I just looked at this. I did not know about this till right now, and I just popped up on my feed and I saw it. Yo, what's up with your man? You need to get your man Skip Bayless. What is Skip doing on his Instagram talking about LeBron every day? You seeing your man? He's in the gym posting these things every day, like, yo, hey, LeBron, I'm up. Where are you at? Every day?
Oh, he's trolling. Yeah, he's trolling
with workout LeBron. Videos yeah, and all yeah, kinds. Yeah.
Sweating and talking greasy to LeBron. He's in love. He's in love.
I don't know what to say about that. What I can tell you is this. Skip is Skip. Skip's gonna do what he's gonna do when it comes to LeBron.
But I will tell you this.
The workout part about because again, I haven't seen it. I knew nothing about it. I'm just learning from this because you tell me, you know, because I'm doing my thing. But I will tell you this: the workout part about Skip ain't phony.
That's always been there.
Let me tell you something. Every single day, Skip Bayless runs a minimum of 5 miles a day. He eats the same thing for breakfast, the same thing for lunch, the same thing for dinner every day. And his only vice physically, in terms of diet, his only vice is Diet Mountain Dew. That has been him. This brother is something else. He's fixated on the workout joint. I mean, he don't play. It's not an exaggeration when it comes to physical fitness for him. It's not a joke. And he's incredibly, incredibly particular about, you know, being physically fit. And he got a problem with anybody, black, white, young, old, Asian, Hispanic. I don't give a damn who you are. If you are out of shape, Skip Bayless has a problem with you because that brother is about physical fitness. I've known him for close to 30 years, and I'm telling you, he has never, ever, ever changed or deviated from that. And when you think about him trolling any athlete or whatever you want to say, I will remind you that years ago in the Washington Post, he was being they were being interviewed and something, he was doing some kind of feature on Skip, and he told this story when he first met his wife Ernestine, who I love dearly. He met her. The first thing he said to her on their first date, you will never come before my job. You understand that, right? Ever. So long as you know that, we can continue with this date. If you can't accept that, you need not bother. That's what he said on the first date. Yeah, I mean, at some point, at some point in time, we just got to accept the fact the brother different.
Yeah,
that was a great story.
On the way out, Stephen A, because I love it. Tap dance on these on the Cowboys' grave for me, real quick.
Oh, you know,
what are they hiding with Dak Prescott? What is really going on with Dak Prescott's shoulder? What are we doing here, B?
It's the built-in excuse, you know, my shoulder's hurting. You know, so it's the shoulder. It's always something. They're gonna steal headlines though. They're gonna win the Super Bowl championship with headlines. They're gonna do that. They're going to get all the shine.
The marketing Everybody machine is crazy. The PR Everybody, machine is crazy.
Everybody going to talk about them. But in the end, when all is said and done, all occupied, I don't give a damn. I got the Dallas Cowboys winning the NFC East. So what? You know what I'm saying? You might be lucky to win a playoff game. So what? Go ahead and raise your hopes. So long as that fall is bad. When it comes time to really, really matter and you don't get to sit up there and call yourself Super Bowl champion, I'm good, man, because it doesn't matter whether they 15-1 or 1-15. This is the Cowboy. This is the religious statement of Cowboy fans everywhere. You know we're going to win the Super Bowl next year, right? It's the same old nonsense. They just make me sick. It's sad because I don't hate the Cowboys. I can't stand their fans. I can't stand a Cowboy fan. They are the most nauseating, disgusting people I've ever met in my life.
Have you ever talked to Hov about this?
Say what?
Of course he has. Of course you talk to Jay-Z about this.
You talking to Jay-Z about this?
Hell no. He know better. He know better. All of them fans know better. Him, Jamie Foxx, Denzel. There's a whole bunch of Cowboy fans out there. Oh. I don't know why. I'm like, what have they done? You just look at stuff like that, and you just look at people, and it's like, really? Really? I mean, don't they make you sick? I mean,
I can't stand them.
Hey, listen, at least Denzel can remember Roger Staubach. I don't know what the other ones are holding on to.
Listen, man.
Jamie Foxx holding on to Troy Aikman and Emmitt Smith.
Yeah. I remember a couple of years ago when the Dallas Cowboys, I mean, this is one of my favorites. Dallas Cowboys lost Thanksgiving through Christmas. It was so beautiful, man. I mean, it's hard to put into words how beautiful that felt. Because they kept losing game after game after game. And I would run into Cowboy fans, man, and they were so miserable. And to see them so miserable like that, it was a beautiful feeling, man. It was a beautiful.
Yo, and the Cowboys are on Hard Knocks this year, too. So, you know, they're not winning nothing.
You mean Soft Knocks? You mean Soft Knocks? That's what it is. When the Cowboys are on, it's called Soft Knocks. And it reminds me, when the Cowboys lost to the Los Angeles Rams in the playoffs a couple of years ago? They lost. They went to L.A. and they lost to the Rams. Mm-hmm. Everybody was downtown at the LA at the JW Marriott downtown in LA Live. I was waiting in the lobby for them, y'all. I'm like, you don't want a picture? You don't want a picture? Come on. You want to say? I said, let's go. I said, can we take a picture, please? And I mean, Cowboy fans was looking at me and just and running away and stuff like that. You know, it was hilarious, man. I mean, I had a blast, man. I was literally waiting in the lobby.
Yo, Rosenberg, look at Stephen A's face. The only reason I brought this up is because I knew that Stephen A would light up with joy.
I couldn't relate more. Last year on Thanksgiving, when my Washington football team rolled them, we just kept scoring.
Wasn't it beautiful?
Oh, so beautiful. Yo, Stephen A, have fun tonight, bro. We're proud of you.
Yo, man.
Appreciate y'all. Thank you.
Take care. Thank you for your time.
Peace, all right,
fellas. Ebro in the morning with Laura Stiles and Rosenberg.
Reconnect with CUNY. Whether you are a first-time college student, a parent, a veteran, or an adult with some college credits, there's a place for you to continue your dreams or start fresh. No matter where you are along your journey, the CUNY Reconnect program can provide financial assistance and one-on-one personalized support to get you going. It's not too late to start again. Go to cuny.edu/reconnect today.
UBS Arena, Hold On, Sexy Red, French Montana, DeVito, Roller Brook, Cash Cobain, Bass Swag, Doja Cat, Honey Baby, Fabio Foreign, 41 Cal Rich, Jet Carter, Tata, Chef G is home, baby, Sleepy Hollow, Connie Diamond, 310 Baby, Celebrity Host, Ice Spice and A Boogie, Big Daddy Kane will be celebrating the life of the finisher, Mr. C.
Mr. C, Step Swimming,
Jadakiss, EPMD, Eric B and Rakim, Method Man and Redman, Lord Tariq and Peter Guns, yours truly, the curator, the lit digital DJ, Funk Flex on the set, hosted by Nessa, Ebro, Peter Rosenberg, and Laura Stahl. 30th anniversary of Summer Jam, 30% off right now. This offer ends at midnight on Sunday. Tickets at Ticketmaster.com. Oh, you thought we wasn't going to get it right?
He's on fire!